warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome, Easter people. This is the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Inhan, sitting here with David Niles, and Alleluia is our song.
Alleluia!
Welcome, guys. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. It is still Easter. We have 8 days of Easter, which is just beautiful. 8 days. And this week was Pope Emeritus Benedict's birthday.
And he had a beer.
90?
Was it 90? 90th birthday. I saw him there in the crowd drinking a beer.
Yes. So
in fact, someone asked, I just saw on Facebook or something.
We posted it.
One of those social medias. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of beer is he drinking?
Yes. And Jeff.
I was thinking, I don't know.
From the Council
but
of Men.
But I do. I want to know.
It looked like a lighter beer, I got to say.
It looked like a German, you know, the one of the German styles. Mm-hmm. You know, the Mexican beer.
Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen. Mexican beer is German. It is. Like,
I cannot comment on that.
It is.
I cannot say yay.
Corona.
Nay.
Corona is actually a German style beer. Yeah. Along with all of the Mexican lagers.
I'm not a fan of Mexican beer, but
I like some of it.
Well, this is the Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Inhan. You're David Niles.
I am. That's true.
We just have a new website, thecatholicmanshow.com. Check it out. It's
yeah,
awesome.
Go there.
It's a lot of fun.
If you build it, they will come.
Nobody will show up. Isn't that how it goes?
That sounds right.
But this is the Easter. We're in the Easter season. I hope everybody had a great Holy Lent.
Because we're an Easter people.
We are Easter people. And Alleluia is our song.
That's right.
I love that.
You know what? I was telling my wife that the Easter liturgy is my favorite liturgy.
Yeah.
On Easter, when you sing Alleluia for the first time,
it feels like
I've never sang this song before.
I know.
And you're just like Alleluia.
Oh, man. It gives me chills and I get like jacked up when I first.
I was fist pumping. Did you see me fist pumping?
No, I did not.
I wasn't really.
You weren't.
Yeah. In my head.
You were fist pumping.
It was fist pumping. Dude, I was fist pumping big time.
How beautiful was it to see so many people of the body of Christ at Mass?
Very beautiful.
It was like I was so jacked up and excited to see so many people at Mass.
Me too.
I want them to be there this week.
Yeah, you guys should always be with us.
Yeah, it's so much fun. We're the cool crowd.
We need all the sinners we can get in the church.
That's right. Yeah, the body of Christ is much better with you in it.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying.
And I just love how also I know I'm the minority here. Okay, so it's not gonna. People are not going to be happy with this.
Say it.
But
I like it.
I love how people dress up at Mass for Easter. And I wish that they would, like, I wish that it would continue. I wish that people would dress up for Easter like they do for a regular, like, everyday Mass.
Me
too.
Because
it's a mini Easter. It's a mini Easter. Sunday is a mini Easter every Sunday.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like our culture in general has lost the sense of celebration. About how to truly honor and celebrate something. And that's just, you know, the fact that people don't dress up much anymore.
Right.
You know, if you wear a golf shirt to work, business appropriate.
Okay, so let me throw something
out.
Which is
not business appropriate. A golf shirt is not business attire.
So I tweeted this week how I wanted,
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
And there were some people that came back at me and said, you know, I enjoyed it as well, but I enjoy wearing, you know, casual clothes at times because it makes it feel more special when I dress up.
I say nay to that.
And here's why. I don't tell my wife I love her only every once in a while to make it special.
I tell my wife I love her
every single day.
And it's special. Darn it.
And I don't need, you know, it once every week. If you try to tell your wife you love her only once a week, you're gonna have some issues.
I agree.
So anyway.
Dude,
I didn't mean to get on a literal note
with what you just said, mm-hmm. I agree.
On a literal?
If literally you only tell your wife once a week that you love her, you will have issues. And they won't be small.
They will not be
small. I'm just saying.
Literally.
I mean.
Juan will be so mad that we're speaking. I'm speaking literally in a figuratively.
I mean it literally.
I'm doing it figuratively, which will upset him.
Yeah, I am literally starving right now.
No, you're not.
Do you mean you're figuratively starving? No, I'm literally starving. You don't look like you're starving.
That was one of Juan's pet peeves.
Let's get
anyway,
to a drink.
Okay, I'm so excited about this episode.
There's
so many things that are going to happen on this
the
episode.
Wrapping
I'm
is
really,
still on
really
this one.
Excited
I'm
about
I'm
it.
I'm taking the wrapping off now.
Okay, so we're gonna, so if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. We have a man beverage, a man gear, and a man topic. The most manly topic you've ever heard in your life. Possibly it compounds weekly. Could go parabolic. We're still in
it's TBD. TBD.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out. But we always try to promote virtue on each of the episode or each of the segments. This episode we're going to have Amrut, which is a first.
Oh, come on, you can do it better than
okay,
that.
Okay, fine. Amrut. Which is a first for us.
We watched the YouTube videos on how to say it.
Which is a first for us because it is a India Scotch or I'm sorry,
Indian.
Indian. Yeah, it's Indian whiskey, not a Scotch. But it's a single malt whiskey from India, and it's Amrut Fusion because they take barley from Scotland and fuse it with India's barley, so it gives it a peat like you have from the peat characteristics of Scotland, but with the fruity tastes of India.
Mm-hmm.
So
go ahead and try it, and I'm gonna tell a story about Amrut.
Okay.
So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. So our buddy Ken Savath brought this to one of our Spirit and Smokes gatherings. It wasn't the Fusion. It was the straight up Amrut. But he was in India. At the time, he was traveling a lot. And he was in India. And someone told him, you need to pick up a bottle of this while you're there. And he tried and tried. Because it's Indian. They make it in India. And he couldn't find it. And he tried and tried and tried, and he asked around. People said, "Oh yeah, you won't be able to get that." And then he finally found it in London, in Britain somewhere. He had to leave the country in order to find it. And so I think he ordered it here in the States from England, and they shipped it here. And the shipping was as much as the bottle.
Right.
Am I getting that story correct?
Yeah. I think that is correct.
But I just remember it was very good.
Okay, so the color in this is a very like a sherry color almost.
Almost orange.
Almost orangey. A very
honey amber color.
Yes, I agree with that. The notes on the smell on the nose is sweet. You get an instant sweet fruitiness.
Yeah, that's what I remember from the last time. The other one was a very fruit body. Mm-hmm.
So
fruity body.
The taste you have, it's an instant fruit. Mm-hmm. You get the plums, cherries, kind of pop out at me.
Yeah.
But then on the back side, the bottom is the peat. Mm-hmm. The finish is a peaty.
You're right.
It's very subtle. It's not like in your face, but it's a very subtle peat at the back end. It's very interesting. It's a sweet to peat.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Mm.
Coin that trademark. You cannot use it.
All right, Amrut, $10,000, and we'll let you use the phrase.
I really enjoy it.
I do too.
It's
a pleasant beverage.
It's unique. It's different than what I'm used to trying, especially when it comes to a single malt Scotch. When you think about, single malt whiskey. When you think about like a Scotch whiskey, it's not it's still spelled without an E. It's Whisky.
It is?
Yes.
See, they're not supposed to do that.
No, yeah, it is. If it's a single malt, it's without the E. It's when it's not a single malt, it's
only
with an E.
Only Scotch is supposed to be S-K-Y.
No, single malt.
Because they make single malt bourbon, and it's S-K-E-Y.
No, because that's a bourbon.
But it's still single malt. That's just what that priest in Scotland told us, was that only Scotch is supposed to be S-K-Y.
I know. Father Neil, he listens to the show. Send us an email. You can, or hit me up on Instagram. I'd like to hear your
correct
thoughts.
Correct us. We need
He's a holy priest.
We need some fraternal correction here.
I really like him a lot. He's a very holy priest.
He sounds like an awesome guy.
Yeah.
I've never talked to him.
I know you haven't, but I have. And I've told you all about him.
But he likes scotch, and he's a priest. Mm-hmm. And on that alone, I feel like I can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right?
Right.
He sounds trustworthy.
So, Dave, with our new website, we're getting new analytics on our, who's all listening to our podcast, which mm-hmm. is something we really didn't have before. And it's super cool to see we have over 22 countries that are listening to the Catholic Man Show.
Isn't that weird?
That's crazy. I can't believe you guys are listening to us.
Some of them don't even speak English.
I mean, that must be their second language.
The whole country's listening.
Yeah. But no, not the whole country.
Oh, not the whole country.
No, people in that country.
I see.
Dave's a little slow.
That, you know what?
That makes a little bit more
sense. That does make more sense.
Mm-hmm. It's probably, though, because Father Brian Ketterer just hit it out of the park last week.
Totally, right? Am I right?
I mean...
I called you and I said, Adam, I'm bringing in a ringer.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good.
I was like, I'm already booked. I'm doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, no. Father Brian Ketterer.
He's going to be there.
Yeah. And so then I realized that you weren't speaking of me. You're speaking of Father Brian Ketterer.
Right. You were not the ringer that I was bringing in.
Right. Which is typical. That's the normal.
Right, because typically I bring you in every show. I'm bringing in a ringer again.
So when we get back, we're going to get into the man gear, which is going to be a lot of fun because it is a... I can't believe we haven't done it yet. We haven't done this man gear yet.
So weird.
Okay. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers
to Jesus.
And Pope Benedict. Pope Emeritus Benedict.
Papa Benedict, our German shepherd. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I am David Niles in studio with Adam Minahan. It just occurred to me that Jesus is the reason for the season. Welcome back.
That just occurred to you?
It just occurred to me that he's still the reason for the season.
So let me just say
even forget Christmas, he is the reason for this season.
That's great.
He's totally, I mean, I guess equally as much for Christmas, because without him, there would be no Christmas, but I just felt like it occurred to me, that's a phrase we can still say.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
My wife and I were just talking a little bit ago about the hashtag, he is risen, because everybody's using that right now.
Yeah.
And she and I both said, she sent it to me and she was like, I can't help but think when I see he is risen to make it seem like it says hell's rising. And I was like, me too. I couldn't believe it. She actually felt that way. And I was like, the whole time, every time I see that, I think.
Because they capitalize the I.
Right.
Yeah.
And it looks like hell's rising instead of he is risen.
Uh-huh. Hell's arising.
Yeah. And it's like, well.
Get your Bible. Hell's arising.
Anyway, so every time you guys post with hashtag he is risen, I think of hell's rising.
You know what I've never done?
What?
This is just very far afield. But I should do this. I've never blessed my ammo. I was just thinking, what would you do if hell was rising? It's like, I'd want some holy water bullets. And it's like, I should totally bless my bullets. What do you think?
I don't know if I have anything to say about that.
Okay.
It's not something that I feel like I have any comments on.
The thing is, though, once you bless them, you can't sell them.
That's true. Now I know that to be a fact.
But I don't plan on it.
Yeah.
Don't touch my ammo.
Okay, so let's get into the man gear because I'm super pumped about
okay,
it.
Okay, before we do that,
okay,
what do you think with water?
Oh, yeah, so we added over the break. So we're drinking Amrut Fusion, which is an India single malt whiskey. And we added a couple drops of water to it at the end. And to me, it just minimizes the fruitiness. And I catch the peat at the end, but less of the fruitiness at the beginning.
So you think it's less of the fruitiness?
Yeah, I don't get as much pear, plum, cherry. I get more, almost like more of a, almost like, I know this is weird, a floral at the beginning.
Yeah, I've been sipping on this, trying to figure out what is that flavor now that is more prevalent. And I've been going back and forth between like a dreamsicle, you know, but that's not right. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody's had this experience where you taste something and you say, yeah, I know that flavor. I've tasted this before, but I cannot tell you what it is.
Cinnamon. That's what it is.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cinnamon.
Oh, that feels good to...
to know.
Yes. Thank you.
It is cinnamon.
Yes.
It's a really good... it's a really interesting... If you are a whiskey guy, which I know a lot of the people who listen are, if you're a whiskey guy, it's definitely worth... if you can find it. It's hard if... like, in fact... when I text messaged Ken about Amroot, I was like, Amroot.
Thank you. Yep.
I was like, hey, isn't this the bottle that you talked about? And he's like, yes. And you're like, and I said, you can't find it here, right? And he's like, yes. And I was like, well, I found it in one of the liquor stores. I'm a sales guy. So what I do is as I'm traveling around Tulsa and the outside, I always swing by a liquor store, mm-hmm. just to get an idea of the pricing, what they offer, if it's different than what, you know, somebody else is offering.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, some people, when they pass by a church, they go inside. Adam, when he passes by a liquor store, he goes inside.
I go inside.
Yeah. It's like the same thing.
Basically. So, I mean, so when I saw it, I realized I have to get this. This is something I have to get because I don't know if there's going to be an opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
Again. So,
some people go in a church and they're like, wow, I didn't realize they had a shrine to so and so. I have to light a candle. Adam says, like, wow, I have to buy this bottle of whiskey.
Yes.
Same thing.
Almost the same thing. A little bit
basically,
more.
Basically, it's literally the same thing.
A little bit more expensive than the candle, but.
Well, you can donate as much as you
That's
want
true.
For the candle.
That's true. That's true. Okay, so let's get into the man gear.
The man gear. Why don't you do it?
I can't believe we haven't done this man gear before.
I know. It's just me either.
It's a little perplexing that we haven't done this.
I don't know. Just go.
Okay.
Just do it.
So the man gear this week is Regina Cigars.
It's a cigar.
It's a cigar. Specifically, Regina Cigars.
But we've never even done a cigar.
I know. That's what the crazy thing. So, I reached out to the owner of Regina Cigar. Or actually, we became friends on Facebook, and then I reached out to him.
Uh-huh.
Peter Bond is his name.
Okay.
Which I think is a sweet name. Peter Bond.
He should name his son James.
I knew you were going to say that. I set that one up knowing that's what you were going to say.
After the Apostle, of course.
Naturally.
Yeah.
But Regina Cigars, I really like it because it's not just a crummy cigar with a Catholic wrapper on
right,
it.
Right, because that's what I asked. When you first told me about this, I said, well, are they good cigars? Because that's something that people do. No, you know, they'll have these cigars and they say, no one will buy these cigars. I know. Let's put a wrapper of Jesus on it and then people will buy it like crazy. You know why? Because they will. Mm-hmm. That totally works. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, this cigar has Jesus on it. I'm going to buy it. And then it's a terrible cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, I've just been had.
Right.
You know, right. Nothing sells like Jesus except for sex. But Jesus is number two. So this was actually a good cigar.
Yeah. It's
so
a,
I was
it's
very
a really
pleased,
good cigar.
Very pleased.
Go to reginacigars.com. What I actually love about them as well is that they donate a portion of their profits to the Catholic Church in the Middle East.
Yes.
Which is awesome. And they've donated over $2,000 so far. They haven't been up for very long.
It takes a long time to be able to come up with an extra $2,000 selling cigars.
Right.
But I was telling you this earlier. I feel like the Middle East, the problem with the crisis with Christians in the Middle East is something that is being utterly ignored by society, by the church in America, maybe mm-hmm. not the church worldwide, but certainly the church here in America.
Right.
Is being totally ignored. They're killing them over there. They are killing Christians.
Right.
Simply for being Christians. You know, I've heard it said that the last decade, or the last century, 1999, there were more Christian martyrs than any other century.
I know. Isn't that wild to think about?
But that our current century is on track to blow it away.
Just wild to think about.
Like, even back when they were killing Christians in Rome.
I know.
Nope, more were killed in the last century, and more will, by far, the 2000 century mm-hmm. will be the number one.
So that's why it's another reason to support Regina Cigars.
But how many times do you think about that in your day-to-day? You know,
Not near enough.
Do we pray for it every... I mean, we should be praying for this every day. I don't pray for it every day.
Right.
You know, I'm guilty of this just as much as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But we should be. They're killing him over there.
Yeah. And so Peter Bond with Regina Cigars.
He decided to do something.
He's decided.
Good for him.
Yeah. And so go over to the website because they have Dominican collection, a Nicaraguan collection, Honduran collection. He can do the It's a Girl, It's a Boy. In fact, he sent us a couple and he put the It's a Girl in there since Anna Faustina just was born.
Awesome.
And so he has a bunch of different cigars on there and he can even custom band cigars for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have like a company or something like that you'd like to promote.
And I can see just by the picture on his website, there's more than one different kind of cigar, it looks like.
Oh yeah, there's all different. Yeah, all different kinds. And so they're really good cigars. They have Christmas and Easter cigars. So if you're a guy who...
We're also not getting paid.
Well, yeah, we're not getting paid
to promote this. We don't do that.
No, not at all. I mean, he's not paying us at all. I mean, he did send us a couple to try.
I mean, if he wanted to pay us, we'd take his money, but we just have...
I mean,
we don't do
he
that.
Did send us a couple to try, but if they weren't good, we wouldn't have promoted it.
Because we're a charity, okay? We don't turn down money.
So if you are a guy who is starting a Council of Man chapter, or you have a group of men that you meet with monthly to drink a little... Mm-hmm. whiskey and smoke a cigar or something like that. Drink
Try
a beer,
out.
A pint mm-hmm. in a pipe or
it is certainly a legit cigar to show up with.
Yes.
To a Catholic function.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, he sent us his Easter cigar, which is really cool. So anyway, I highly recommend them. The cigar that I had was really good. Father Brian Ketter, who was on last week, said that it was a really good cigar. He thoroughly mm-hmm. enjoyed it. We gave him one to try.
Yeah, he gave it the thumbs up.
He gave it the thumbs up. So,
and he has a great taste. His palate is fantastic,
mm-hmm.
but it's equally as good with a cigar. Sometimes mm-hmm. a refined palate doesn't translate between whiskey and beer to smoking,
mm-hmm.
but he can do the same thing. He's like he's a prodigy. He's yeah. What's like the Latin word for tongue? He's like a mouth prodigy or something. You know, it's weird. He's a flavor prodigy.
A flavor prodigy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I'm sticking with.
Bet you didn't think we'd say that on the Catholic Man Show.
Nope.
But we did.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, ReginaCigars.com is where to go. Buy in bulk. They're great cigars.
Right on.
Dave, what size cigar do you like the best?
Corona.
That's mine too. Mm-hmm. Well, I take that back. I thought it was. Okay. For a long time, I smoked the Corona, which are the thin, they're the, not the thinnest, but they're the thin ones. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pretty thin.
I think the Corona burns. I like the way it burns the best.
I do too.
I get the
I
most
do
even
like,
burn.
I do like
it's
how
the most
it burns.
Enjoyable experience.
However, I did just try a Dennis sent us a bunch of cigars over, he had a bunch of boutique cigars and he sent us to him to try. And one of them was a Kentucky Fire. It was called like Kentucky Fire. And it was...
That's the size? Was it short?
No. That's the type of cigar.
The brand?
The brand of the cigar. Uh-huh. But it was a short one, but it was also thick.
Dude, those look sweet though.
And I thought, I don't know if I'm going to like this. But I started smoking it. It had the same even smoke. You know, it wasn't like one side was burning too quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great cigar to smoke with a peated whiskey.
Well, if a cigar is rolled right, it should burn evenly, but the Corona just burns nice, you know, like it progresses well.
I really like this anyway. Anyway, this weekend is Divine Mercy Sunday.
Woo!
So we're talking about Divine Mercy.
Lord have mercy!
Hang on through the break. We'll talk about Divine Mercy. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Coined by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI.
Happy birthday, Benedict.
Happy birthday. We just got done talking about Regina cigars, the cigar in general, as the man gear.
Mm-hmm.
We're drinking a little bit of Amrut Fusion. I keep not wanting to do that for some reason.
No, it's weird. We don't do that in English.
Yeah. Which is an awesome India single malt whiskey.
If it was, we say it in Oklahoma, we say Amrut.
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 That's what we'd say. Anyway.
There are really people who talk like that. I mean,
I know.
It's funny.
I know. But we're going to talk about divine mercy. We're going to talk about mercy, but specifically divine mercy, because it's Divine Mercy Sunday this week, this weekend.
I know.
Which is super exciting that it comes right after. I mean, how fitting.
You should be almost finished with your Divine Mercy Novena by now.
Yes, that is true. Mm-hmm. That is true. Man, I got like caught up in multiple novenas overlapping. Have you done that before?
Yeah.
We were doing our St. Michael. I know. We were, what, last night? Well, Sunday night?
Sunday night.
We finished the St. Michael one, and I was like, oh, I have to start the other one as well. So, I mean, I've been juggling novena. Anyway.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Divine Mercy Sunday is super awesome. It's was officially instituted by John Paul II. Actually, we did have a Feast of Mercy already on the calendar, which was why it was like difficult.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Would you say it was officially instituted by John Paul II or by Jesus Christ?
Okay,
Who do you think officially instituted it?
As I was saying that, and I was looking at your eyes. I saw the twinkle in your eyes,
like,
and I knew that's red, what you're gonna...
Like the lights going off, yeah. Like something doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I was like, I knew that was...
I still am curious what you think the answer is.
Well, for the church...
Let's define our terms here.
So anyway, we're digressing. We're digressing because I want to talk about Divine Mercy Sunday and how.
So you're not going to answer the question.
The importance for the church. I think that John Paul II, with the authority given to him by Jesus Christ to Peter and all of his successors, John Paul II instituted
it. You could have just said the answer is Jesus Christ through John Paul II.
That, yes, yes. Mine was a lot longer of an answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the same result.
I agree. Good answer.
Okay. So, if you guys have not read the Diary of Maria Faustina.
Phenomenal book.
Great book. In fact, if you're looking for a book to go to adoration with,
yes,
this is the one to go with.
It'll blow your mind.
It'll blow your mind. Okay, so I still have not finished it, and it's been about, 2 years?
I'm the same. I haven't. I got about two-thirds of the way.
Yeah.
And then something happened where I picked another book up, and I haven't come back to it yet.
Right. But it's one that you can set down and pick back up anytime.
I know exactly... In my mind right now, I know exactly where I left off in the story.
It was absolutely beautiful.
She was doing crazy things.
If you don't know the story of Maria Faustina, you need to go look it up. You need to stop this podcast right now and listen to it.
I left off in the story right after she had finished writing what Jesus told her to write, and she burned it.
Ooh.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And Jesus was like...
What are you doing?
What the heck?
That's not what I told you to do.
I told you to do this. You have to start over.
Yeah, she started all over again.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So anyway, one of the main quotes that Jesus said to Maria Faustina was, "Do whatever is within your power to spread devotion to my mercy. I will make up for what you lack." Which is like, he always makes up for what we lack anyway. But it's just like, in your face, it was such a beautiful thing. So there was a little bit of backlash when it was first instituted. Divine Mercy Sunday was first instituted by JP2. JP2 was friend, had met Maria Faustina. Yes. They're both from Poland.
I don't know this. Can I just guess what the backlash was? Did it have anything to do with a conflict between the Sacred Heart of Jesus?
No.
Okay.
It had to do with, they thought that there was already a Feast of His Mercy. So why do we need a Divine Mercy Sunday? And then...
What was it? Do you know? What was the other one?
It was on the old calendar.
So we don't have it anymore?
It's
not on the American calendar anymore?
I don't believe so.
I mean, I don't recall one, but
I don't believe so.
That doesn't mean we don't have one.
So, but the other thing was, is that it was just locally, people were like, I already know about the chaplet. I don't need to know, you know, I don't need to preach about Divine Mercy. Which, the chaplet's just a part of Divine Mercy Sunday.
Right.
The Divine Mercy chaplet is just a like little part.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I got to tell this story that I read online. It was written back in 2001, which was the first official weekend of Divine Mercy Sunday. Divine Mercy Sunday weekend. And a guy had blogged about it, and it's still up there. You can go look at it. I don't know. Just Google it. You'll find it. But he was all excited about Divine Mercy.
He blogged about it?
Yeah.
On the first Divine Mercy Sunday?
Yeah, in 2001.
That was the first one? 2001?
2001, because it was instituted on the Jubilee year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
I thought it was older than that.
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's a baby. It's a baby.
Again, there was a Feast of Mercy, but not Divine Mercy Sunday.
Okay.
Okay. So this guy was all excited because, you know, mercy was like, divine mercy was his thing. Yeah. You know, he was excited about it. And so he came up to this priest the first weekend and it was like, he read that quote, you know, the do whatever is within your power to spread the devotion of my mercy. I will make up for what you lack. So he's going to his priest and he was like, you know, are we going to preach about, you know, Divine Mercy Sunday? And I can get the Divine Mercy picture, you know, the Jesus with the white and red, you know, rays. Yep. I can get one of those. We can put it up, you know, by the altar. He's all jazzed about it. And the priest was like, no, I know about the chaplet. We're not preaching about divine mercy. And he was like, oh man, I can't believe that. And he was all bummed out about it. But he read that quote again and he was like, okay, I'm not going to stop. And so he wrote a letter to all of the newspaper people about Divine Mercy Sunday.
Sweet.
And said, if you have any questions, I'm open for an interview. And Divine Mercy Sunday, the headline, the front of the page of the newspaper said, Divine Mercy, Catholic Church welcomes all sinners. Something like, I mean, not exact, that's not quote, but that's like basically what
something
it said.
Something to that effect. Yeah.
Something to that effect. And he realized, you know, that was what he had never reached out to the newspaper before. He had never, you know, done any kind of interview before. He had never done anything like that. But he realized that
this is the guy.
This is the guy. Yeah. But he realized that Christ was going to make up for what he lacked.
Mm-hmm.
And he reached out to him. And then, boom, the next year, the priest started preaching about divine mercy. He increased his confessional hours every week for the whole year. I mean, he did all this stuff to help promote Divine Mercy Sunday. So if you're a guy, you are in charge of like promoting Divine Mercy Sunday. Like Jesus has asked that we all preach on and spread his divine mercy, and he will make up for what you lack. So if you're worried about it, just do it. Just
do it.
Just talk about it.
Put on your Nikes and just do it.
So one of the things Jesus told Maria Faustina. Anna Faustina is my daughter. Okay, Maria Faustina. Saint Maria Faustina. He says, on the day of my feast, the Feast of Mercy, I will go through the whole world and bring fainting souls to the spring of my mercy. I will heal and strengthen them. My desire that the Feast of Mercy will be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach me on the fountain of my mercy. So this is the weekend to ask for the big graces.
Yeah.
If there's something that is struggling with in your life, if you have a child who's fallen away from the faith, or a parent, you know, who's fallen away from any loved one that's fallen away from the faith, if you have something that you've been struggling with, an addiction that you've been struggling with,
mm-hmm.
if you feel like that you don't have enough devotion or pure charity to our Lord or devotion to our mother, this is the weekend to ask for that grace.
Yeah,
because
totally.
Our Lord has made it clear that the gates of heaven are going to be open. You know, if you have a loved one that has passed away,
mm-hmm.
and you think maybe they're in purgatory, you know, potentially they could be hopefully in heaven, but potentially in purgatory, this is the weekend to pray for them.
Because there is a special indulgence.
Okay, I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to...
It's a plenary indulgence, but it ain't like all the other plenary indulgences.
Right.
This is the one and only time when you can do this particular indulgence.
Okay, well, I'm not sure if what we're going to say is the exact same thing.
Say what you're going to say. Just say it.
Okay, so Jesus says to Maria Faustina, the soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all divine floodgates through which grace flows are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near me, even though its sin be as scarlet. Close quote. So the church has made it very easy. If you go to confession, receive Holy Communion within 20 days, you receive a special plenary indulgence for Divine Mercy Sunday. And pray for the Pope. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You receive a plenary indulgence.
The element that is missing is the total detachment
from sin.
From sin.
Yes. That is the thing that...
Which is the reason why it makes it hard
to get a plenary indulgence.
So if you go to confession, receive communion, pray for the Pope within 20 days, you know, accomplish all of those things within 20 days of Divine Mercy Sunday, you will receive
right.
a plenary indulgence.
Right.
As long as you do those things with the intention of receiving a plenary indulgence.
Right. So Saturday, most churches have confession on Saturday afternoon. Go to confession on Saturday afternoon. Take your family with you.
And get there early because there's
be
there a lot
early.
Of people. Yeah.
And then go to Mass on Sunday. Boom. Pray for the Pope. Offer up the Mass for the intentions of our Pope and maybe any loved ones that may be in purgatory. And boom. And plenary indulgence.
And I want to temper what you said, because you talked about if you have an addiction, this is a time to ask for big graces. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean your addiction will be cured.
No, it doesn't.
But it does mean that you will receive big graces.
That's correct. That's correct. We're not a...
It's not a magic trick.
It's not a magic trick, no. So anyway, when we get back, let's talk a little bit about mercy. What is mercy?
I've got some questions.
Okay. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We're here drinking Amrut Fusion, product of India, which is quite nice. It's really just a fun, it's fun. I don't know what it is. There's something fun about it, but I like it. Regina Cigars was the man gear for today. It was really a cigar, but we were talking about Regina Cigars. And who doesn't like things dedicated to Our Lady, you know?
Right, exactly.
Those things are cool. And we're talking about...
those things are cool.
Yeah, they are.
I agree.
Like me?
Yeah, and me?
Yeah.
And...
Dude, we're cool. Right?
People say that.
Yeah. There are at least 12 people out there who think so. And I've met at least two of them.
That's biblical. Mm-hmm. 12.
That's right. I didn't even realize that.
Okay. Anyway, keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
So we're talking about mercy.
Yes.
So here's my question, because when you told me this was our topic, this was the first thing that popped in my head, and I had never even considered this before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it seems so obvious. I don't know how I never thought about this. So Adam, here's the tough question.
Okay.
What's the difference between mercy and forgiveness?
Okay, so when you asked me that, I thought, oh, I know this. And then I started trying to... define them.
Right. It's like, oh, well, sure. They're totally different.
They're different. And then I started like trying to articulate it
and, it's
and
like,
realized.
Can you define one? Can you define forgiveness without mercy? Or can you define mercy without forgiveness?
Right. And so.
And maybe one has the definite.
I struggled with
maybe
it.
Maybe one has the word in its definition. You know, like maybe mercy has the word forgiveness in its definition, but that means forgiveness can't have mercy in its definition. You
right.
see what I'm saying?
Yes. I do see what you're saying.
Because, you know, a circle. A square, a rectangle. No, a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle
are
is not a square.
Are we just naming shapes? Is that
you just oval?
Okay, okay.
Dodecahedron.
So I'm going to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church first.
Good idea.
Great, great spot to go.
Good idea. I like where you're going.
They define mercy as the loving kindness, compassion, or forbearance shown to one who offends. That's their definition.
Okay.
The fruits of charity are joy, peace, and mercy.
The fruits of charity?
Of charity.
So now we're talking about charity.
I'm just
connecting
dots. I'm just connecting dots here.
Okay, okay. I see.
The fruits of charity are joy, peace, and mercy.
So, okay.
And mercy.
Mercy's in there.
Charity demands the fraternal correction. It fosters reciprocity. Reciprocity. Thank you. I knew I was going to butcher that.
Tough word.
And remains disinterested and... generous.
Mm-hmm.
So it's friendship. It is friendship and communion. So forgiveness is an action of mercy. Forgiveness is an action of mercy.
So mercy comes first. That's
right.
What you're saying.
But you can have merciful acts without forgiveness. So forgiveness is a merciful response of being hurt or offended. But mercy can also be an unmerited act of love, like works of mercy, like the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. You can go check those out.
So when you say you can have mercy without forgiveness, you don't mean that you can have mercy on someone but refuse to forgive them.
No, what I mean is...
What you mean is that you can have mercy on someone where no forgiveness is required.
Correct.
Okay.
That is exactly... Generally speaking, forgiveness is a merciful act.
Mm-hmm.
Not all merciful acts are those of forgiveness, like we just said.
Every act of forgiveness would be merciful because you have to have mercy
Correct.
In order to forgive.
Correct.
Okay.
Mercy encompasses forgiveness, but extends beyond it to a spiritual corporal work of mercy.
Okay.
So the distinction has to be made also, which is very interesting. This is... So... Pope Francis wrote a book about, you know, the name of God is mercy,
uh-huh.
or the face of God is mercy. Why did I not write that down?
It was something about that.
I think it's the name of God is mercy.
God, mercy.
The distinction has to be made that if man did not sin, God would still have been merciful to man because it's in his nature
to be merciful. He just can't help himself. I mean, we're sitting here talking about divine mercy, and I was just really thinking about, you know, reading these quotes by Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to escape the fact or just the notion, confronting the idea of how much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what hurts him more? Do your sins hurt him more, or does it hurt him more that you don't ask forgiveness for them? You know, he's sitting there going like, just come to me.
Right.
Like, I know you did those things.
Right. So if you're...
It's almost like... not asking for it feels to me mm-hmm. like he's wounded more by someone who just doesn't ask for forgiveness than by the person who commits this, like that hurts him more than the sin itself.
I'm so glad you said that because I thought about this earlier this week and totally forgot about it up until this very point. I had
Sweet.
All this thing that I was going to talk about, but this is more important.
Forget about it.
I feel
it.
Like.
Yeah.
There are men out there who think that their sin is too big for God's forgiveness, mm-hmm. that they've sunk into some kind of addiction or they're struggling with something they feel like they can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like that they continue going back to confession, saying the same sins. And is this just walking in the actions?
Or maybe there's that one thing you did that one time mm-hmm. that still to this day haunts you.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Dave, you're a father.
I am.
And I'm a father.
Mm-hmm.
When Elizabeth does something wrong and you get on to her and you know that she knows she did something wrong and she comes to you with these tear-filled eyes and this complete I want to hug you look running up to you knowing that she did something wrong and she's wanting your forgiveness, how quick are you to absolutely 100% completely forgive her?
Oh, I mean, by that point, I've forgiven her a long time ago.
And you forgot even, like,
you know,
it's not even an issue.
The very instant I see them, well, Mary's not old enough to do anything wrong. She's only 5 months old. But Elizabeth, when I see her do something, in the instant I see her doing, I've already forgiven her. Because mm-hmm. I know she's going to do things. You know, she's
mm-hmm.
two.
Mm-hmm.
And this is totally a good analogy for God with us. He knows we're going to sin.
Right.
Right? Because he gets it.
Right.
We're like... totally down here like puny little humans.
Right.
Okay. But so when I see her do something, I get on to her, but I have already forgiven her before she even did it.
Right.
But and I still want her to, you know, she needs to do that
for
because it's for her good, not mine.
And if that's how you feel, think about how,
right.
how
God is that to infinity.
Right.
And beyond.
So one of the, I want to get to this too, because it kind of blew my mind. I started reading about JP2 and he said, the Bible tradition and the whole faith life of the people of God provide unique proof that mercy is the greatest of attributes and perfections of God. And I thought, I read that, I thought, like, I had that red alert, something's wrong, like you had.
Love, right?
Well, no, because the greatest attribute...
Isn't
God?
Why does God...
Like, God is, you know, everything that is good.
Uh-huh.
You know, does he have one greater than another? I mean, isn't he infinite in all things that are good? Love, mercy, wisdom, power? You know,
right.
Like,
but a nature, but, you know, a virtue... The nature of a virtue could be higher than the nature of another virtue.
Right. That's better put than what I was saying. But yes, mm-hmm. so that was like my, wait, hold on, time out. Let's figure this out. So a book called Pillars of Fire, if you don't have it, I think it's a great book. But there's a little section that says, in this sense, all...
Did Patrick Madrid write that?
No, I don't believe so. No, I think Father Roski.
Okay.
look that up as I'm reading this. So this is from Pillars of Fire. It says, in this sense, all of God's attributes are God, one and the same. For this reason, all are absolutely equal to each other. Divine mercy is as infinitely perfect as his wisdom or power. For it is likewise God and the same God, just as divine wisdom and divine power are God. And that's from Pillars of Fire, the book. And I believe the author is Father Rozicki, R-O-Z-Y-C-K-I. But really, Dave, in other words, God does not do just merciful things sometimes, nor does he have a merciful side to his character. Yeah. Kind of like you and I don't have merciful sides to our, like we have merciful sides to our character. God does not. On the contrary, he's always and everywhere at all times merciful. Everything he does is an expression of his mercy. So that all of his attributes are eternally in action. So if mercy is understood in a biblical sense, that it's functional, even though mercy is called an attribute, it first is the result of the infinite and eternal love of God in world history, which is what you were saying, and especially in the history of mankind's salvation. Mm-hmm. That's where the mercy lies, in the salvation of man. So if we understand mercy in the biblical sense, then we understand that God, one of God's greatest attributes is mercy, because Jesus Christ came back to die for us for our sins. Like, that's what he came for.
Hmm. See, I still would have thought that love, because God is love.
So, another way to express this would be divine mercy is supremely manifest in all of God's actions toward mankind. And to show mercy must be the motivation and intention behind all of God's actions to the world.
I wonder if you square this all, because you mentioned mercy is the fruit of charity, mm-hmm. and charity is synonymous with love.
Mm-hmm.
So his mercy is a fruit of the fact that he loves, and his mercy is so infinite. You know, is his infinite mercy more than his infinite love?
And no, that's what it's saying. It's they're all equal.
Right.
So I encourage you guys to look up actually the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy. Corporal being more the body, spiritual, the spirit. So the spiritual works of mercy are more important than the corporal works of mercy.
I'm not gonna ask you to name them, but do you think you can name?
I couldn't name all of them. I mean, I have the list in front of me, so yeah. But I couldn't name them.
Dude,
all
I couldn't
off the top
either.
Of my head.
I mean,
but if you're a guy who's intellectually about the faith, I challenge you to go do a corporal work of mercy. If you're somebody who is not intellectually, but is a doer, I challenge you to do a spiritual work of mercy.
Good challenge.
I think that's a great challenge.
Good way to end the show.
So anyway, this has been a merciful episode. Thank you guys for listening.
Lord have mercy!
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.